name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I think the first thing that we need to understand the cross, and to understand what our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ is speaking about, when he says that we must die in order to live, that we have, that through death, we have life. And this may sound contradictory, and how can we grasp this? But the truth of the matter is that an image that was used by St. Gregory of Nyssa of the soul is that it's like a chariot, and it has two horses, and one is black, and the other is white. This is not a racial statement. And it's black with regard to sin. The horse is black with regard to sin. And the black horse desires all of the sensations of the passions, in pride, in sensuality, in greed, and so on. And the white horse desires to rise up to the vision of God, to see the light of God on high. And these two horses are bound together to take the chariot, which is the soul. So the charioteer is our, as they call it in Greek, our nous, which really means our spiritual mind. It's higher than just the rational mind, but it's a spiritual mind. It's like the conscience, which sees over things and recognizes things with regard to their value and their worth, and with regard to how they participate in our life of salvation, or how things drag us down into the darkness of sin and death. And so we have this chariot, two horses, one white and one black, and the charioteer is, of course, we are the charioteer. And with our nous, as it were, we have to bring the black horse, which is constantly veering off to the left and wallowing in the passions of pride and sensuality and excess, yet this part of the soul has to be brought into union with the white horse, which desires to go up to heaven. It's a very beautiful and simple image. You can see visually in your imagination this chariot and the struggle of the black horse and the white horse constantly pulling, and little by little gaining strength. Now, where does the strength come from? The strength comes from God on high. Namely, our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ shines his light upon us, and he gives us strength. And in the worst of times, when we turn to him, we find strength. And if we turn to him with all of our heart and our mind and ask our Lord to help us and guide us, he will strengthen us. He will never let us down. And so the white horse is constantly appealing to God for help and constantly trying to bring in the dark horse into unity. And once they achieve this unity, the soul rises up and has the vision of God. And beautifully, where God gave us this created order, and the created order really is, it's a sermon, as it were, or it's a revelation of divine order. The sun, of course, is a physical sun, and we understand that. But God is like the sun in the eternal world. And so we have this idea, do we not, that when the sun rises, the darkness is dispelled, and the sun rises, and it brings beauty, and it brings life from the earth, and it gives us this incredible context in which we live. But of course, the sun sets. So we have to go through these cycles. And so here we have it, that this our condition is very clear, that we have a tremendous struggle with the passions. And this exists because of the fall. And prior to the fall, and when Adam and Eve fell in paradise, they had this strength. And they weren't in this state of temptation, but they had this unity. And after the fall, the powers of darkness, the devil himself, entered into the picture and brought about spiritual death, separation from God. And here we are, brothers and sisters in Christ our God. We're on this Sunday, which is the midpoint of our great and holy Lent. It's a very beautiful thing that we celebrate the cross. And I like to think of the parable of the son who left home and left his homeland, asked for his father's inheritance, and left his homeland, and then squandered his wealth, and then found himself in degradation, feeding swine and eating the husks that they fed them with. And finally, he came to himself and realized that in his own home, he had had his servants, actually, had had more than he had in his separation. And then he had this, obviously, this change of heart, and he went home and to his father, to the embrace of his father, and to the love of his household. And I like that in terms of understanding where we are. We have kept the fast, we have tried to say our prayers and enter into the divine services as we're able, and we're at this midpoint. And so what happens is God comes out to us, and he meets us halfway and with the cross. And now, as we proceed forward in the final 3 weeks and then in Holy Week, the cross goes before us. It's like a procession that's being led by the power of the cross, which dispels all darkness and temptation, and leads us to Jerusalem and to the prepared, as it were, to participate in the death and resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. So the cross is a window, I think, into the sufferings of our Lord and Savior and his victory over sin and death. The vertical beam, seems to me, of the cross rises up from this fallen earthly world and points the way to heaven and eternal life. And the horizontal beam stands between heaven and earth. So here we have this cross, and then the horizontal stands between heaven and earth. And it binds mortal man to the struggle with sin and death. So here, we have the cross, as it were, through our baptism and our life in Christ, and wearing the cross. It's inscribed, as it were, on our chests. And I think where the intersection of the cross represents the heart of man. It's this, right here is the heart, and it's true. The heart, right at the intersection. And there's this paradox, as I tried to explain, between, on the one hand, the desire to know God and to rise up to heaven, and on the other hand, the desire to waste our lives in frivolity and excess. And we do understand that, do we not? How we find ourselves. Really, on the one hand, we want to know God, but on the other hand, we love the pleasures of the life. And one of the great deceptions is that man has created ways to, as it were, dress up the excesses of the passions. So in a sense, to make them look attractive, and as though they're really not a problem, you know. And these successes we might get into, whether it's eating or drinking or carnality and so on, they're just sort of a natural reality, and they're not a problem. So the devil has tried to dress these temptations up, but the reality, as we live out the course of our life. I think that it's amazing, with God's creative order, that our strengths diminish. Our physical strength diminishes, our carnal strength diminishes, and we find ourselves. And on the one hand, one can grieve and mourn the loss of one's vigor, as it were. Or on the other hand, one can rejoice that we are being led through just the course of our life to a point where the power of the Holy Spirit can work in us and strengthen us so that we can abandon the things of the world and enter into the things of God. So when we gaze upon the Son of God hanging upon the cross, and we gaze upon the cross in our faith, in our experience in the Holy Church, we gaze with a sure and certain knowledge of the resurrection of Christ. And we behold the intersection of humanity and divinity, of mortality and immortality. And in this moment of realization, we gaze upon the Son of God hanging on the cross, and we are called to reestablish the priorities of our life. We are called to submit ourselves in love and obedience to the service of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And the infinite and unending stream of blessings that come forth from the church. And to this end, we must resolve the struggle of our fallen nature and desire the honor of knowing the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, in Christ our God, awake, the time is short. Awake and realize that all the worldly things that we do in this life will be quietly defeated by the ravages of aging and sickness and death. On the other hand, everything that we do in this world to save our Lord, to serve our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ and His Holy Church will sustain us through the ravages of our mortality and translate our mortal bodies and souls from earth to heaven, from mortality to immortality in the eternal and heavenly kingdom of our merciful God. The cross is the eye of the needle. You remember the parable about the eye of the needle? The Savior said it was more difficult to go through the eye of it, to enter the kingdom of heaven than to pass through a camel, to pass through an eye of the needle. And it's true. But we pass through, not by our own efforts, actually, but by the love of God. So we have to unite ourselves to the love and the mysteries of our Lord and God and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we can pass through the eye of the needle and enter into eternal life and salvation. In obedience to the Father, Jesus Christ mounted the cross. He crucified the mortal flesh. He broke the bonds of sin and death for all who believe and follow His example in humility and faith and hope and love. The life, crucifixion and death and resurrection of Christ, followed by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all those who believe in Him. It revealed that eternal life in the blessedness of God is possible for all mankind. So then, what is required? Again, what is required? And the Lord spoke, and He said, He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life in this world for my sake will find it. If anyone desires to come after me, he says, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And in Corinthians, St. Paul speaks in Corinthians, he says, He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For, he says, it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. This is amazing. We have all the efforts in scholarship. We have libraries filled with books. We have seminaries filled with books. And the reality is, they do not guarantee that you will understand and know God. The fact is that you will know God through participation in his life, which has been given to us through the divine services of the Holy Church. He says, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. Worldly wisdom, of course. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, the weakness of God is stronger than men. At the end of his sufferings on the cross, our Lord cried out, saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And this is an amazing plea that the Son of God, who is at the moment of his death and fulfilling his mission, cries out from the viewpoint of his humanity. Perfect God and perfect man, but when he cries out, it's his humanity. And I think the reason he does it is because he identifies with us. He suffered for us. And when he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He's embracing us. He understands the effort, the suffering, the devotion that requires of us in our lives to be united to his resurrection. And so in his words, he's identifying us. So brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day, let us remember the Holy Cross. Let us bow down before the cross. Let us venerate the cross. And ask that our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ will ignite in our hearts a flame of zeal and desire to turn away from the passions and the sins and the temptations of this world and dedicate ourselves to salvation so that we may, as the result and end of our pilgrimage, Great Lent is a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, so that we may behold the reality, the grace, and the power of the resurrection of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. May it be so. In the name of the Father,